Chapter 15. Dash Constantine throws aside the emblems of imperial power, and is ordained as presbyter. High's subsequent death. Death of the other tyrants who had conspired against Honorius. After this victory, the troops of Honorius again laid siege to the city. 3. When Constantine heard of the death of Edovicus, he cast aside his purple robe and imperial ornaments, and repaired to the church, where he caused himself to be ordained as presbyter. Those within the walls, having first received oaths, opened the gates, and their fives were spared. From that period the whole province returned to its allegiance to Honorius, and has since been obedient to the rulers of his appointment. Constantine, with his son Julian, was sent into Italy, but he was waylaid and killed. Not long afterwards Jovianus and Maximus, the tyrants above mentioned, Seros, and many others who had conspired against Honorius, were unexpectedly slain. Chapter 16. Honorius the ruler, a lover of God. Death of Honorius. High's successors, Valentinian, and Honoria High's daughter. The peace which was then worldwide. This is not the proper place to enter into the details concerning the deaths of the tyrants, 1, but I considered it necessary to allude to the circumstance in order to show that to ensure the stability of imperial power, it is sufficient for an emperor to serve God with reverence, which was the course pursued by Honorius. Gaia Placidia, his sister, born of the same father as himself, dwelt with him, and likewise distinguished herself by real zeal in the maintenance of religion and of the churches. After Constantius, who was a brave and able general, had destroyed the tyrant Constantine, the emperor rewarded him by giving him his sister in marriage. He also bestowed upon him the ermine and purple, and admitted him to a share in the government. Constantius did not long survive the promotion. He died soon after, and left two children, Valentinian, who succeeded Honorius, and Honoria. Meanwhile the Eastern Empire was free from wars, and contrary to all opinion, its affairs were conducted with great order, for the ruler was still a youth. It seems as if God openly manifested his favor towards the present emperor, not only by disposing of warlike affairs in an unexpected way, but also by revealing the sacred bodies of many persons who were of old most distinguished for piety, among other relics, those of Zechariah, the very ancient prophet, and of Stephen, who was ordained deacon by the apostles, were discovered, and it seems incumbent upon me to describe the mode, since the discovery of each was marvelous and divine. 2. Chapter 17. Discovery of the relics of Zechariah the prophet, and of Stephen the proto-martyr. I shall first speak of the relics of the prophet. 3. Kaphar Zechariah is a village of the territory of Eleutheropolis, a city of Palestine. The land of this district was cultivated by Caelmrus, a serf. He was well disposed to the owner, but hard, discontented, and unjust towards his neighboring peasants. Although he possessed these defects of character, the prophet stood by him in a dream, and manifested himself, pointing out a particular garden. He said to him, "Go, dig in the garden at the distance of 2 cubits from the hedge of the garden by the road leading to the city of Bitharibus. You will there find 2 coffins, the inner one of wood, the other of lead. Beside the coffins you will see a glass vessel full of water, and 2 serpents of moderate size, but tame, and perfectly innoxious, so that they seem to be used to being handled." Caelmrus followed the directions of the prophet at the designated place and zealously applied himself to the task. When the sacred depository was disclosed by the aforementioned signs, the divine prophet appeared to him, clad in a white stole, which makes me think that he was a priest. At his feet outside of the coffin was lying a child which had been honored with a royal burial, for on its head was a golden crown, its feet were encased in golden sandals, and it was arrayed in a costly robe. The wise men and priests of the time were greatly perplexed about this child, who and whence he might be and for what reason he had been so clothed. It is said that Zechariah, the superior of a monastic community at Gerari, found an ancient document written in Hebrew, which had not been received among the canonical books. In this document it was stated that when Zechariah the prophet had been put to death by Yesh, king of Judah, the family of the monarch was soon visited by a dire calamity, for on the 7th day after the death of the prophet, One of the sons of Yesh, whom he tenderly loved, suddenly expired. Judging that this affliction was a special manifestation of divine wrath, the king ordered his son to be interred at the feet of the prophet, as a kind of atonement for the crime against him. Such are the particulars which I have ascertained on the subject. Although the prophet had lain under the earth for so many generations, he appeared sound. His hair was closely shorn, his nose was straight, his beard moderately grown, his head quite short, his eyes rather sunken, and concealed by the eyebrows. Taken from the early church fathers and other works originally published by W.M.B. Erdman's Pub Company in English in Edinburgh, Scotland, beginning in 1867. LNPF 2/2, Schuff and Weiss.